Yes, boy. Woo, welcome back to another episode of Vob's Podcast. Big Vob's. I am your host, Dunkle. Captain Lebrizel. To my right, as always, is the trusty, most delicious Davey D. And behind the camera is your certified Vob's controller, DJ D. And today we have a big one, Davey.
Tonight, our guest has been producing music for over 7 years. He has over 300,000 streams on Spotify and was just one of the winners and was one of the winners of the Beatport Remix competition in 2022, where he got to go to Ibiza. Yo, Ibiza.
Hey, they can roast you. Ibiza.
I'm going to say Ibiza. He's been playing events all across Johannesburg and with some of his biggest tracks being played by South Africa's top tier DJs. Everybody, please welcome SA's most jack DJ, Cassis!
Hey, Cassis! In the studio!
Wagwan! Yes, Wiz, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here, man.
Thank you for pulling through, bruv. And course. Like we said earlier, most jack to ever sit in that seat, bruv.
Damn.
The scariest
DJ. Not the most
DJ.
Jack to ever sit in the seat. Pull up Mark Stent.
Oh, actually, these fucking massive, actually.
I've actually never seen Mark Stent, like, live.
No, that's a big
one. The last time I saw him, I was in, like, grade 10, bro.
Yeah.
2017.
Jeez, like.
You say grade 10 like it was a long-ass time ago, but I feel like...
What's that, like, 6 years?
Yeah, solid 6 years. So you started making music and or producing when you were in grade 10?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. And yeah. How was that journey for you? Like, where did it actually start?
Damn. So, it was in grade 9-ish. One of my best mates in high school, his name was Grant. He got me into, like, this thing of electronic music.
Hmm.
But it started off with the bass house, you know, Chanda.
Yeah.
Watson.
It has to.
Deep House Cassis was a fiend, bro.
Oh, no way.
No, it was bad. Like, I would frown upon you if you didn't listen to it.
Oh, hectic.
You were like, the addicted. Truth at like grade 9.
Peasants, bro. Fine.
Fucking peasants, man. God damn.
And then we were sitting in class one day and he pulls up his SoundCloud. He's like, bro, listen to this mix. He's like, you know, I know this guy. He's our age. I'm like, and he's what? A DJ. That's mad. Can you do that?
Yeah. That's
like
legal.
At our age? That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I downloaded Virtual DJ that afternoon, bro.
Yes, boy.
Yeah. And then, I started dropping mixes on SoundCloud and whatnot for like the next year. And then I moved schools and I met another G from Durban who had been producing for also quite a while. Mm. And he's like, bro, you're a DJ. I'm a producer. Let's teach each other, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
That was sick. So he hooked me up with some software. I hooked him up with some lessons. And that's where it started, bro.
Oh, damn. Jeez. That's beautiful, man. Shit.
Pretty sick.
But when it comes to making the music that you make now, so obviously you're more like into like the Afrotech vibe now.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did that shift happen? So when was it like, we got to leave the deep house behind, guys?
Bass house is done for now.
So deep house has been dead to me for quite a while. pretty much as I started making tunes, I try to... produced deep house for about 3 months, gave up hard. It was just too hard for me. I don't know, because also you starting out, you don't even know your way around the software, bro. How are you supposed to make these wubs and chubs? Yeah. Bro,
yo, those fucking heavy wubs, bro, that get the chubs.
What the hell is even serum like? So then a couple of my mates introduced me to Bodzin.
Oh, away.
And that's kind of where it started for me. Singularity.
Okay.
But the singularity wasn't what did it for me, but it was enough to intrigue me to go check out the rest. And like just dip my toes in the melodic side of music, you know.
Mm.
And yeah. Deep house was gone. Melodic was in, bro.
Yeah.
And then I would say that Afro pulled up after my trip to Ibiza.
Really?
So not even very long, just over a year.
Mm.
Because I went there and like, bro, you would have no idea the influence we have in that place.
Oh, really?
That's why I was even shocked, because I saw in Coachella, there has a full Afrotech stage.
Oh,
and like, it was massive. And I was like, I already didn't know people like mess with it that much overseas. Mm. And now you're saying
They do.
They fucking love it.
Because obviously I was there with Beatport.
Mm.
And
yeah, walk us through that. What was it like from like entering into...
So first off, they announced that I won like 2 days before my birthday.
You're like, this is birthday, like, man.
That day and the next 5 days, I was on a high, dude. You couldn't bring me down.
Yeah.
So then I was just shitting my pants, dude. Oh.
The
build up to it, bro. Because I'd never flown alone before. And I'd never been out of the country before. So...
No, you're literally flying.
They were throwing me in, dude.
Big defense.
And it was like, you're going to play a set as well, by the way.
Yeah, so it was myself and three other peeps that won. So four winners from around the world. Yeah, so at least I wasn't alone. But my travel there was terrible, dude. An 18-hour trip took 36 hours.
Fuck. Oof. Was it layovers or was your pilot just fucking...
Late flights, bro, and then... Because they paid for my flight, so I didn't have direct access to all the information. Basically, anything that could have gone wrong, except for missing luggage, went wrong.
At least you got your luggage.
Flights disappearing off the thing. I'm looking at that TV, I couldn't find my flight. I was
just, literally like, I was
borderline existential crisis, bro.
You're going to be that guy. What's that movie that we spoke about that one time?
Oh, for fuck off, Tom Hanks.
Wait, he can't get out of the...
The terminal.
I think it's called the terminal, yeah.
What's
that?
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yo, and then, you know what? Yeah, then the flight was late after getting a new one. Then, yo, because then I was supposed to go straight from Amsterdam to Ibiza. Then they got me, that flight just vanished into thin air.
Jeez.
They got me another one from Amsterdam to Barcelona to Ibiza. That flight to Barcelona was late. 45 minutes to be exact.
I counted.
I land. I grab my shit and I run, bro.
Yeah, fuck.
I'm running. I'm passing people like it's nothing. Like, and I'm not a runner, bro. But I was gassing. I got to that terminal and they just closed the gates, dude.
No, fuck.
And then everyone that was coming on that flight just straddled up behind me, bro. And I'm like, hey, we can't get in, bro. Thank God I wasn't alone.
No.
I don't know what to do. So I just follow these like 40-year-old people. And they're like, okay, we can get compensation. I'm like, oh, late. That's dope. So then, yeah, I got a free night in Barcelona. Oh. About 2 hours of sleep. And a free ride back to the airport. Jeez. And I landed a day late in Ibiza.
I was even going to ask. I was like, did you make it on time? Like,
no.
Oh, hell.
But the itinerary didn't start until the next day.
Oh,
so geez. I just missed out on like 1 day of free time.
Yeah. Oh, that's a vibe, man.
And then once you got there, day late.
Yo, no rest for the wicked, bro. I get in my hotel, I lie down, and I get straight back. We're going off to rehearse at some other recording studio. Dank. The Wi-Fi in that country, bro. It's like 600 megs a second.
Jesus.
Jesus.
And you always understand, because you're from here.
Yeah.
It's mad. So then rehearsals are done. Started chatting to all the peeps from Beatport and the other winners, getting to know them. Went and had dinner with them. Chilled. Yeah, the next day we went to record. It was on one of, like a private property type thing. You know, Cirque?
Yeah.
Circle.
I was gonna say circle, but
no, you're right.
Am I? Okay.
I'm ignorant. I was like, circle. Hey, what school did he go to?
So it was kind of like one of those,
just
showcasing Microsoft products and stuff for Beatport and whatnot. So we recorded on that Wednesday. Boom, sick. And that's when the IMS started, the conference hosted by Pete Tong. Pretty sick. Dude, I saw people there that I never thought I'd see in my life.
Oh, like just on the random thing.
I saw the A&R for Spinning Records.
Oh my God.
I shook his hand, I'm like, holy shit.
Your feet are fuck sex, man.
Yeah, bro. And I'm like, I'm young, bro. The other winners, there was a guy that was 23, I was 21 at the time. And the other two, they were in their 30s, man. So I was just rolling with them because, you know, they have life experience. They've been to Ibiza before.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. Then Yeah, and then at the end of the week, there was the closing party at Dolt Villa on the castle.
Oof. Massive.
Dude, it was so sick. Fuck, man. Patrick Topping, Jamie Jones, and then the after party at Amnesia.
Jeez. Fuck's sake.
It was a pyramid event. Like, mind you, I was with Beatport, so I got free entry to all of these. I would have had no money. It's like 500 rand a ticket, bro.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Jeez, like,
yeah. Or like 50 euros, rather. So that's way more. I'm waiting in the line at Amnesia, bro. And I'll just see there are these dancers, like exotic dancers, bro. Just, I've never seen makeup like this in my life. Just costumes. This one chick had a dude on a leash. She was like a zombie type vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Yo, no, it was crazy. Craziest thing I've ever seen. There was a cardboard cutout of Steve Aoki on the billboard. I was looking at him.
Steve Aoki popped out through the cardboard cutout, threw a cake at me.
I actually whipped out my phone and take a photo, and these two drunk women just like fell over in my photo.
Guys, please move. I'm trying to get a picture of Steve.
Wong. Bro, I get in there, and there's like 2,000 people on one floor.
Oh, fuck.
Like,
jeez.
So many people off a bean.
No one was sober there.
No. But also, like, obnoxiously loud. It's just chest rattle, no perceivable anything.
Was it all people from Spain or like just all over the world at the party?
I didn't speak to many people at Amnesia, but at like the IMS and at my hotel, there were a bunch of tourists there.
At least.
Met some of them, yeah.
And Amnesia, you were just kind of starstruck at that point. You were just.
Yeah. Like, I walked in and that room that had 2,000 people in it, that wasn't even the main stage, bro.
Oh,
I step in the main stage and it's this dungeon.
Jeez.
And Amelie Lens is blooming over there.
On the casual
one. Yeah, fuck's sake.
Like, and I walk in, I took a video, 10 seconds, I was out, bro. I would have had permanent hearing loss.
Oh, that fucked?
Yeah.
Oh,
way too dank. Shit.
The vibes were too dank, fuck's sake. God damn. How do you come off of something like that? Like, I wouldn't imagine, like, I'd stop drooling. Like, if I came back to SA after that, I'd be like...
For like a week and a half. Like, take a I can't imagine. No, man, stop drooling completely.
But it's just like, what?
A deload week.
Yeah.
It's just like, it feels like a week that's so, like, long and jam-packed of shit that it's like... And like, heavy jools, it sounds like.
Heavy. I wanted to go to Pasha.
Ooh.
Solomon was playing there. But it wasn't in my budget. Or in my time frame. Because Bodzin was also playing at Ushuaia.
Oh, hectic.
And that would have been just like the cherry on top. That would have been like my life complete, bro.
Oh, that's beautiful. Did you see him when he came?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
I got a selfie with that guy.
I'm
so happy. You're going to wipe the smile off my face, bro. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's so beautiful, man. Fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So, Nafrotec, after the Ibiza there, you were...
Yeah,
kind of start shifting into that.
I've never felt so proud to be where I'm from. Like coming home from Europe there.
Yeah.
It was crazy, dude. And I just that's when I started on my grind of trying to just do the Afro. Or rather fuse my ting with the Afro.
Yeah.
A year later, it's proven to be pretty sick.
Bro, yeah. Must be honest, it is some fucking quality music.
Thanks, boy.
Yeah. I mean, we heard about you long before we met you because people would always be like, oh, no, that's Cassis's tune. I'm like, who the fuck is Cassis? Why does everyone keep on saying, oh, no, that's Cassis? And then I literally would go onto your Spotify and then just run the tunes and then even like SoundCloud as well. I'm just like, oh, fuck, no, I know this one. Oh, no, I know this one. Oh, no, I know this one. But what's
this
it like?
Cassis.
Yeah, this is Cassis. Serious, bro. Fuck's sake. Oh, God. But then in terms of, like, obviously, like, your music being played so much out, it's like, how does that support feel, like, from your peers as well? Also, like, in the scene, you go out and, like, you hear someone banging your tune and you're like, oh, wait.
It's so sick. But, like, I can't lie to you. Before COVID hit, I think I got at least 3 gigs, or at most, rather. 3 gigs. And that's, like, I've been producing for, like, 3 years at that time.
Were you DJing a lot during that time as well, or were you mainly producing?
I'm a producer by heart, bro.
That's your...
Yeah, I'm a hermit. So I literally, I bloom for 6 years, doing nothing.
Yeah.
Last year happens. Just,
yeah, to the moon.
The hermit comes out his shell, bro.
Yeah. I was going to say, it must be such a wild thing to be like, I'm producing, I'm relaxing. Hey, come to Ibiza and come to like the best shows ever. It's like, what? I barely talk to people, my guy.
I got that email and I woke up my whole family at 4:30 in the morning. I'm going to Ibiza, dog. Yes.
That's beautiful, man. Shit.
Yeah, bro. But back to the question. It's pretty cool. Like I receive support from just random people. And it's so unfamiliar to me because I went so long without getting any, apart from if I like send you the tune, you know,
yeah.
Like the secret circle of the bras, you know,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and then now it's like I can make something, send it to the boys, and I might be able to like hear it out next time I go out. Like, it's a pretty cool feeling.
That's so sick.
Before, man. When I used to send those, it'd be like, I'll play the tune out, I'll be like, take a video, please, bro.
Please, don't record it.
I need to see it. Please. And now I'm like, how did it do? Oh, please, sick.
Okay. How did it do? They loved it. Yes.
Now I get it. And I get that feeling from me playing my stuff out and just seeing the reaction.
How does it work in like balancing, like playing other tracks and then your tracks? Is it like a special part in your heart when like you see your track lined up and it's like, oh, yeah.
You know, it is cool when I know when the boys have been testing and I know it works, I'm like, okay.
I'll never jump first. Yeah.
But it's almost like, you know, as a creator or an artist, you're always your own worst enemy. You critique yourself mad.
Yeah. I can imagine so.
So you're always like, is this going to pop off right now? Is it good enough? Is that kick drum mixed properly? Yeah.
Might fuck the whole speakers up. Who knows?
I'm being phoned. Fuck off. I'm fine, Mom. I promise.
Well, don't worry. We're safe here at Vibes Podcast.
The boys got me covered.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, it's really cool when I bump on my own tunes and it pops off. But like, yeah, again, it's like, you always second guess yourself.
There's a big moment
of self-doubt, bro. It's big, yeah.
Oh, fuck, man.
And then afterwards, so we had Western Engine last week. Mm. And they were saying that when they play their own music, on Sean's side, he's like, oh, shit, need to get back in the studio, figure out how to like make that, but make it better. And then on Pablo's side, he's like, oh, fuck, scrap that. Like, I don't want to experience that again. We need to experience something else. Like, how do we make the next vibe? How do we make the next thing?
Yeah.
So in terms of like your relationship between dropping your tunes when you're out versus getting back to the studio, how do you like move?
You know, I'm on that thing of once I've done the master for a tune, in my mind, it's done.
Yeah.
But if I really hate it, I will revisit it like 3 months down the line.
Because
by that point, I've heard it so many times that I actually loathe the thing. Like, please, Lord, don't play me that song again for the next couple months.
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck, man.
Like, you probably don't realize how much producers listen to their own shit.
Like, no, definitely.
No, it's crazy. But yeah, back to the other question about like dropping my own shit at a Jewel. Like that collab with Tennyson. I know that's a good tune.
Yeah, fucked up.
I've heard from many people and I've seen reactions. So I know I'm gonna load that thing up. It's gonna shake.
Every chance I get.
100%.
Cock that shotgun, dog.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how crazy is it like to like say like you send your songs to the bras and now the bras are like knuck music playing your tune? Like, fuck sakes, man.
Bro, getting tagged in like 40 stories.
Man. Leveled up, dude. But the OG boys still have a place in my heart, for sure.
Oh, does the OG squad always get the tunes first?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, that's love, man. That's love. Yeah.
You know, if you were there from the start, you're a real one, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially if you're still here.
This was what the fuck. I remember. All of y'all are getting fucked up. Wanted to ask, in terms of like, obviously, it's one of those things of like, you got to catch the train type shit. So it's like, you making music and it's like, yeah, you get support from your homies, but then you don't necessarily get support from everybody. But now like, everybody's like jumping on and they're like, oh, fuck. What do you think is like the biggest difference between when you were just producing to produce and now producing for like the Jewel, for group?
Oh, for the group. I find myself doing that more often now, actually. It becomes a thing when you get more gigs. You hear other people play as well and you're like, that's fat. Yes. I need to make something like
I need to encapsulate this.
Yeah. And then I just, some days I'll just hop in and make something and give myself the biggest God complex.
Like a track with tennis and you're like, fuck this. This is amazing,
bro. Yo, that was a bad one. That God complex, bro. It doesn't last very long, I promise.
Because you keep listening to it over and over. You're like, fuck, sex.
It's a vicious cycle. But then again, I still produce to just produce, you know. I produce what I want to make, you know.
Oh, wait,
I'll always start an idea. If I see something that's going to happen with it, I'll just go with the flow and do what must be done, you know.
Do you have a specific process that you run when you're producing, or is it kind of the computer and then it's a free flow?
It is a bit willy-nilly. Always throw in like a loop or something, like a drum loop. Fuck it up. Chop it up. Vocode it maybe. Or I'll start with like an atmosphere, like a drone or something. And just build on top of it, bro. Like, yeah. my biggest, like, what breaks my brain is how a 7-minute fully structured fat tune can come from just one sound that you threw in the arrangement. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Just one thing follows after another, and just ideas start coming, and you just lay them out, and you're like, oh,
this song is sick. Now we fucking killed it. Yeah.
We operating now, bro.
So it's gonna fucking go off at Maddie's this week.
I'm actually trying to finish music for this weekend, bro.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. No, uni's gonna kill me though.
Fucked up. I want to actually ask as well, like, uni and being a producer.
And DJing.
And DJing.
Because then you get the nights, like, you're fine, then the nights ruin you.
They hate each other, bro. First semester was pits. I had to step away for, like, 6 weeks. And it was physically affecting me. And mentally, bro.
Yeah.
Like, even just uni. Uni just sucks up your time, bro.
Yeah,
you even had to stop going to gym. Music, gym, two most things I love in this world, bro.
Had to and stop games.
I'm on the drain, bro.
Fuck varsity, man.
Fuck varsity, bro. Shit.
God damn.
Damn. But yeah. I'm going to try. Okay, it's all down to time management as well.
Oh, yeah, fully. Yeah.
Which I'm terrible at. Let me just say.
But I feel like with producing, you can't put a time frame on things. Like, it just feels like not one of those things where it's like, I'm going to dedicate 3 hours and it will be done by the end of it. It's like, no, that's not how it ever works.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, Bodzin actually, I don't know if he still works like this, but I heard he wakes up every morning, makes a coffee, hops in the stew, sets a timer for 3 hours, and if he can make something worthwhile in those 3 hours, then he'll carry on working on it.
Oh, hectic.
Yeah. Dude, that must be such a stressful 3 hours.
Bro,
it's like 2:59. It's like, this is it gonna.
This sounds like
this
shit.
This minute better pop off. Otherwise,
damn.
Did you accidentally add like the fattest bass line you've ever heard in it? Like, and then it goes beep, 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 beep. Like, fuck yes.
That happens.
Last minute savers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's jokes, but fuck.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole producing process, because we saw as well, like, you used to dropped a video at least on TikTok, basically explaining like the process of like, this is how the song started and like these are the steps that it essentially took. How do you think understanding, or do you think that the understanding of how the track is made kind of adds to the appeal for like just the general people, or is it like mainly for your fellow DJs and things like that?
I think it is marketed towards other producers, you know.
Okay.
So they can see, you know, my process, what I used, what sounds I used, you know. I think it's interesting for the general public.
Yeah.
But I think regarding value, gotten out of it, is a lot more when it comes to producers watching it, yeah. But then again, that video doesn't go very in-depth, you know.
Yeah.
I was literally just solos each bus.
Even when David was looking at it, it was like step one, okay, I can follow this. Step two, then there's like a million fucking
it's like drum step bus. Eight, it's like the A4 page. It's like, yeah, that's gone over my head completely.
Shit.
It's real music, bro. God damn.
Damn.
So what essentially do you, would you say is like the main, I don't want to say like benefit of like tapping into like the producer space versus like the audience space?
Firstly, I think people will admire your work more because they don't hear it as at surface level, you know? Because, you know, as consumers, you, before I learned how to produce, I was just enjoying music. And now I'm just like, fuck. Nitpicking. That mix sounds clean.
Yeah.
That kick is fat. Yeah. That bass line, bro.
Yeah.
Now, I like, that's what's going through my head all the time now. Mm. So I think that's the main benefit other producers can get from, you know, that type of content. And then also you make friends.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful part, man. We're doing reworks because you've done like a ton of reworks and like remixes throughout. I feel like there's a bit of a stress with labels and vocals, and I feel like you've, you know, you know,
he knows what we're
you're not
about.
New to this.
I think in my entire producing career, I've had one remix taken down, two, Post Malone and MGMT. Yeah.
Oh, management.
That was ugly, bro.
But was it on Spotify or was it on...
On SoundCloud, straight up.
And they took it down off SoundCloud.
SoundCloud was like the place you could get away with anything even.
I know, bro. And I'm like two strikes out of three now. I gotta watch my ass.
Oh, God.
Shucks. Oh,
that's so rough.
How did it work? Was it just like a random email one day being like, by the way, this track's down?
SoundCloud has a like an automated thing. I think it just checks the first 30 seconds of any track. And if it's been, if it's not on the white list, sends you a notification email, takes it down. Yeah. They actually did that to one of my own tunes. They said I fucking stole from myself, bro. I was like, so busted.
And that was the third strike. I got to take it back. I got to take it back.
I was so vexed, dude.
Dude, fuck them.
And they didn't get back to me for like a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, but they literally, they, in that email, they were like, bro, you stole Cassus Alone Again from Cassus.
It's like SoundCloud, look at my name.
So rude, bro. I got it reinstated, but like, yeah.
Heartbreaking to feel.
Yeah. So dumb.
Fuck this.
But then again, the other reworks I've done, it's like, I'll just hear, it's like a beautiful tune. Ooh. Or like a hype tune, and I'll just try and put my own spin on it, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, that's why I've done two Billie Eilish remixes.
Mm. By bangers.
Mm. She's got a beautiful voice, bro.
Yeah, 100%.
I love it. Damn. The one, the first one is just 2019 Cassus. We don't talk about that.
There's so much growth from that.
Yeah, facts. Oh, shit. But then again, so yeah, it's like either a beautiful vocal or just hype, you know. I was driving home from uni the one day and Jungle by Fred Again came on. And I was like, oh, it's late. I hopped in as soon as I got home and I made a remix of it, bro.
Oh,
it was just, it was so gas.
Yeah. Damn.
So much fun.
Oh, that's dope.
I love that you have that power to be able to hear a track and be like, I want to remix this, because the amount of times I've wanted to do that with something, like, I wish it like was just a bit more heavy or something.
Mm.
And I just look at someone like, well, that's never going to happen.
Took a long time to get there. You should have seen me trying to figure my way out how to do that when I was like a year in, bro. I was hating life.
Bro, I can imagine, bro. Because it's one of those things of like, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. Like in a tune I'm working on, I'm trying to delve into some drum and bass sound design.
Ooh,
it was like fog horns and stuff. Because
yeah.
I, you know, dubstep and drum and bass, they have the most insane sounds.
Yeah, that's true.
The knowledge that those producers have is just incomprehensible. Like,
I know. I mean, the few of them I've interviewed, I think their brain starts working at high speeds, like
200 BPM.
Yeah, it's like they're not ADHD or something. It's just like that's just their flow state kind of thing. Like it's
oh, fucked up, dude.
Oh man,
goddamn. Would you ever like produce a different sound? Do you think like the brand of Cassis will stay like this, or do you think like you'll probably just make whatever the fuck you feel like?
That's a good question. I'll probably stick to making what I feel like. I make Afro house. I make melodic Afro tech. I make just melodic house. You don't get to hear the latter a lot because I'm shit at finishing music. But it's like I get a lot of joy from just finishing tunes that I like that I made. You know.
Yeah.
It's really rewarding.
Yeah, 100%.
Would you ever want to delve into like drum and bass? And like you're saying there, you're looking for those things. I'm sure there are points where it's, you hear drum and bass, like, ah.
Down the line, maybe, you know. I'm not that in love with it to want to start doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I have been in love with just the melodic.
That's been your entire, like, life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Ben Bomer, Lane 8, Bodzin.
Slapping an hour long Lane 8 and you just sit there.
Bro,
fucking reflect, goddamn, man.
Shit.
What would you say is one thing about being a producer that you wish more people knew about?
It takes time, bro. Oh, and we change. Artists change what they like, bro.
Bring back the old gases.
Exactly.
No,
shut up, man.
Yeah. Shut up.
Bring back bass house. No. It's not coming back.
Like, a tune I made just on a whim because I thought it was sick and I released it, popped off, and now that's my magnum opus.
It's got like a cult following.
That's all the people know me from, bro. I was like, okay. Little do they know what I actually do. Like,
this isn't me, I swear.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that it takes time. I feel like that's also fucking important because I think a lot of people will start. Because sometimes when I like think about these interviews and like the people who watch it, I think about like people who want to do what you guys all do. Fucking like making music, fucking slapping treffers at the jaw, like just big vibes and shit like that. And I wonder like, what are they looking for? Like, what are they want? Like, if you were like speaking to like Lil Cassis and you're like, brev, shit's about to get hard, and also you're about to get massive.
Lil Cassis was little, bro. Bro, I'd probably just tell myself, start as soon as you can and never stop.
Oh, that's best.
It's all about consistency, bro. I'm in Ableton making something every day.
Oh, fuck.
You get better by doing.
Yeah.
Also, you can't leave the process to motivation.
Motivation that's a deep
is
one.
A yeah.
That's a deep
you can't, you know, watch an hour 20 Bodzin set and be like, I'm feeling nice.
I'm ready now. I'm pumped.
You have to feel nice all the time.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Especially when you don't feel nice. You gotta go and make something, bro.
Fuck it up.
Because it's usually when you don't feel nice that the real ones come out, bro.
Yo, I hear that, man.
The amount of times like I've done that, I'm just like, yeah, I'm tired. Feel like shit. Just go make something.
Yo!
I feel like four of the body.
It's a recurring theme, bro.
So anyway, you know how to work now. You're just like, oh, fuck, I don't want to do it. I gotta do it.
Gotta
fuck,
do it, bro.
The vision of the
facts, bro.
Hey.
Even during load shedding, it's just... Oh, blooming there in your headphones, like, I did a thing, bro.
What's so the hype? Fastest you've ever, like, made a track in the sense with that motivation, that, like, speed
bro,
of?
I was doing a mix down for a client last year, and I was like, my ears are popped, let me go take a break, make something. And that Billie Eilish rework was born there.
Oh, I hate
the new one.
Yeah.
That was about 3 hours.
Oh shit! Fucking hell!
Shifting everything.
Yeah, bro. The initial idea about like a 2.5 minute snip was done in 3 hours. Yeah.
Jesus Christ! Christ man. Okay. You got work rate on you.
It's a serious, bro. It's caffeine.
And then the converse are there tracks that have taken like 5 months that don't see the light of day.
Facts. It's mad, dude, because I worked really hard to get to that rate, that like that workflow, you know. And that workflow has saved me countless hours.
Oh yeah.
Such a good thing. And people, when I have those over to the studio to work on something, and they're like, "You work like this? This is mad." What? Like I had Junior over, and Tyler Brody, and they were like, I was busy making. They're like, "Cassius, what are you doing? I'm trying to follow along, bro."
So now we're taking notes, boss.
What are you doing? How did you get what? Yeah, dude.
That's so fucking wild, man. God damn.
Like the faster you work, the quicker you can get that idea down.
Yeah,
fuck. I think it's very true, yeah.
Yeah.
You ever there on your phone just like ba ba ba?
I used to do that and it never worked. Cause no matter how hard you try, it never sounds as good in your head.
Oh, like, fair
as
enough.
It did in your head, bro. Just be in high school just like, oh shit. Get home and
this is gonna make me faint.
Shit. Shit. How did it go again?
Oh shit, man. Oh well, at this point of the episode, we normally like to get into a cheeky segment. Don't know if you've heard of it, might have, but Davey's gonna explain it either way.
It's beautiful vibe check. How's
yes,
it?
Boy. How's it?
Vibe check is essentially where we give the guests a question. We're on good vibes, bad vibes, mid vibes, most vibes, least vibes, anything you wanna do. You can either give in the description or you can just leave it as it is. Don't have to say anything.
Vibes.
There go. You've got it nailed there. Yeah,
he's got it done. Vibe check on vibes? It's vibes. First vibe check of the night is a vibe check. We've spoken about this a little bit, but vibe check on ear fatigue. Yeah.
Bad vibes. Because it puts me in a bad mood, bro. Grumpy curses. If my ears are sore, you're going to just stay away from me, bro.
Oh, fucked up.
Jeez. Yeah.
Nah, yeah, have you ever like rinsed a song? Like,
yes. I think it was the morning of Wandering Tribe, the latest one.
Mm.
I was finishing music so the boys could play it. What? And then I wanted to finish a tune so I could play it.
Yeah.
Fucked it. Didn't even play it, bro. I was like, what is this dog shit that I'm doing? I must be very tired.
Literally just standing at the computer like, fuck this, actually. Don't see it.
It doesn't even deserve to go on the fucking USB, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and I had a hangover, bro.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, like, fair enough. Oh.
Bad one.
That must be a whole new ball game, like producing and like mixing while being hungover.
You know, unpopular opinion, to me, music sounds better when you're hungover.
I don't know,
it's almost like everything you hear is shifted up a tiny bit in pitch.
And if you like when you're hungover, like when you're sober.
And it gets progressively better the more hungover you are. Like I'm lying like there method. Immobilized. I get up like a raisin, dude, and I'm hop on Ableton. I'm listening. I'm like, damn. That sounds so good to me.
This is a good track, man.
Bang it, God. I should start drinking again. Oh, God. Get more fucked up for the next one.
I have to listen to everything before this wears off.
Every project, even the ones from fucking back in 2019. Oh, God.
Fact.
The second vibe check of the night. Vibe check on having your shirt off at the rave.
Awkward vibes. Depends on your physique, bro. But then again, if you're looking stacked, it's awkward, bro. It's awkward. I don't know. Do you feel yourself that much? Or are you just hot?
I can understand
the hot. I've never understood when people in like, I'm so jacked, I need to let everyone know at the club that I'm so jacked.
Just wear a beater.
Just wear beaters.
You even look bigger with a beater, I feel. Facts. Like, if you're being
honest. You do.
It's science.
Yeah, science.
A tight beater.
You've been wearing the loosest beaters on planet Earth.
No. Those I wear like vests, but like those like GTA beaters. The one that
yeah,
like,
you need a GTA beater. Yeah.
Fully. Wear that out.
We should make GTA beaters. Sure. With Vibes on it or some shit. I feel like that would be a vibe.
Just grab the V from GTA 5. Vibes.
Oh, fuck.
That's the best fucking idea, I must be honest. Yeah,
I'm gonna patent that right now.
You can add another job. Another job to produce. You're in the marketing team now.
You're in the Vibes marketing team. Welcome. Far. No, oh, fucked up. No, I feel like at festivals, the only people that you see like shirts off are mainly like fucking roided, jacked motherfuckers.
Those calisthenic gents.
No, but I've like...
Oh, I've only seen those guys like... slim, yo, 8-pack.
Those gents have fucked physiques. Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucked up.
That's cut massive. You with the chest.
Mm. Mad.
Does gym help you in producing in any way, or is that your break from music in general?
Break from everything, bro.
Yeah.
Although I dropped a fucking 15 kilo on my pinky on Friday.
That is heartbreak.
I was so hacked. I went straight home.
How did you drop it on your pinky? Because usually it's like your foot.
Bro, so I was carrying it because I was done with an exercise. I went to re-rack. Right,
no,
one in,
no.
Left one in. I had shop. Didn't put it in properly. It fucking fell down.
Ooh,
sandwiched me, bro.
Oh, that's fucked.
I went and I've dropped like a 10 kg on my toe and I genuinely thought I had to go for surgery.
God, feels like
I was
like
just like stupid. I went and I completely forgot I left that on us and I was like, oh, I felt weird and then...
And I put my boy, I was benching, he was spotting me. And I re-rack a little too hard and a little 2.5 pops off the side of the rack and just smacks him on his toe. Bro.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yo, so
I was
mad.
Laughing, dude.
Oh, that's fucking jokes, man.
Casualty.
I thought that story was gonna go a completely different way, but yo, now man. That I know you can get someone back for spotting you like shit.
Yeah. There's one time.
Damn.
I nearly killed Lebs for spotting him. We...
Shit.
It was back in our 100 days, and then, like, when you just got 100, it was... They were dodgy 100s, though, even.
I remember those days.
They weren't dodgy.
They were dodgy.
I mean, the fact that it didn't come up safe, yeah. It might have been a bit dodgy.
And then I tried to help... Like, it didn't come up, but then I tried to help him, and I killed him that day.
Shit.
Like, I left him for dead.
He literally ran away.
I was trying to find someone.
He fucking ran away. I was literally like, what?
Going to call the big gent over yonder to come help pick it up.
You need one, bro. Every gym needs a fucking big wizard looking ass nigga that's like definitely
bro,
a strong
and my
man.
My gym has one called Dylan.
Oh, there's
he's
he.
He's like, how's it doing? I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, God damn. Hey, how's it going? Anyways. Love
hey,
your
hey dog.
Hey, Jack, man. You come in off of it anyway. I was just gonna lift this weight. I was just gonna. Anyway.
I could have used you for a spot just now. Oh fuck. Oh, 160. Oh shit. Okay.
I really good at that. I could have helped, man.
Bro. You know when they're benching with your squats, you're like, oh wait. Good vibes, man. Thanks.
Good vibes.
How am I gonna help you if this falls?
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
That's a mess.
Yeah. Thanks,
Davey. You wanna get into it?
It's always a beautiful segment as well with the vibe checks. It's a fuck, marry, kill segment. We usually do genres.
We remixed it just for you, us.
Just for Cassis.
Just for you.
So now it's gonna be artists.
You're like,
oh. And it's nothing about appearance or anything, you can't make it about it. But a fuck, marry, kill on Rufus the Soul, RIX, and Billie Eilish. Because you know we you know.
Yo! That's a deadly trio of here. Yo, I would fuck Billie Eilish.
Ah, oh, fair enough.
I would.
The bass lines.
Kill Rufus. Marry Ryx.
Oh, wait.
That's impressive for the love you have for Ryx.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I love that guy. He's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
He's so chill.
Mm.
I love him, man. Shit.
That's so dope, man.
But yeah. Rufus, though, I'm sorry. Sorry, boys.
Sorry, boys, all three.
If you ever see this, I'm so sorry.
They know it's all love.
Like, meet them, they're like, oh, yeah, you killed us in that one podcast. Like, no, man, I swear.
Hit me for an official choice. Remix, please.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll change my mind.
If we ever get Rufus, or when we get Rufus to Solon, we'll ask them.
Fuck Mary Kill Cassis. Hmm?
Oh, we saw that. We saw that. Oh, God. That's fucking active, man.
Let's hope they don't hold a grudge.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucked up. Do you have a dream collab like that? Or I imagine multiple, but like...
Dream collab, I would put it with vocalist mainly. not so much other producers, because a dream collab with other producers that I admire so much, I feel like I would just be so useless in that situation. Like with Bodzin, for example, I would just sit there like, fuck, this is beautiful.
Bro, slow down, I'm trying to watch.
I think dream collab producer-wise would be Ben Boma, maybe.
Ooh.
And then vocalist, either Ryex or Billy.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
That would be a stunning.
Oh, it's already stunning, man. Damn.
Yo, that would be so cool.
Cheeky fanboy. Get fucking, get Cassius the fucking collab, man. God damn.
Man. Because, like, I've essentially done it already, just not with their permission.
No, I want to do it live. 100%. Want to be a flume situation. Have them there sing while you're there in the back.
Oh, that would be fucking beautiful, man.
Yeah, dude.
Shout out Flume every time.
Love that guy.
Love that guy, man. Fuck yeah. So, in your limited jolling days, majority, like, fucking producing and all that, what's, like, been your best jol of all time? Was it out in Ibiza, or was it somewhere here, or?
A jol that I haven't played at, or I didn't play at, was probably back when I was, like, 16. Hopping out to just to random places, bro. Like Booth was sick.
Oh wait.
Back in the days. Probably because you know, it was just a massive social.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, that's just all these days though as well. Yeah,
like I just get it because I never used to go out, bro. Like, and when I went to Booth for the first time, it was like my third time ever. So I was like, yo, you're from Instagram. That's mad. Favorite jol that I've played at, it might have been the first Unseen that I played at.
Ooh.
It was at Black Panther. It wasn't super packed, but the people that were there, you know, it was just surrounded by friends, bro.
Oh,
it was just vibes.
Yeah.
That's like,
and the same, I think another one would be the latest Wandering Tribe as well.
That one looked massive.
It was, yeah. That was the best crowd that I've had so far.
Mm.
And again, just surrounded by the boys.
Yeah.
It was just so good.
And also the venue as well. Like, just with how everything was working.
That greenhouse, bro.
So when I first said that they're doing the three stages, I was just like trying my hardest. I was like, where's this going to happen? Because we were there for the first miracle, and we were like, how's it going to happen, man?
And then they pop up with the greenhouse, bro. I was like, yo!
you guys went in.
And then the mood stage in the dungeon.
Bro, that one was the one that I think I had the most amount of FOMO for, because we've been to like almost every tribe, and it's like that one we had, I don't even remember what we had that week. We had way too many plans that we had fucking made like months in advance. We were like, we can't, and then Davey was still trying to fucking get us to tribe, and
out of fair play just to an me, hour at least.
He was like, we'll get there for an hour, it'll be bliss. And I was like, David, there's no time. God damn, man.
Shit,
I feel like this is such a hectic. I felt like a DJ that day. I felt like it was one of those days where it's like you have a gig up in Pretoria, then you have to drive down and like fucking.
Hey, this weekend's gonna.
That's
break
gonna be
me, dude.
Do you ever get like a social battery drain? Because like you're saying, either you're a hermit mainly, and I imagine these days you have to talk to a lot of people.
I think, social battery. I think I'm a hermit, just because you know I like being home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm going out to socialize or to support or to DJ, then I'm vibes, bro.
Yeah.
I can have gigs all through, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'll go. Because it's just that seeing familiar faces.
Yeah, that's always
friends, nice, dude. It's just good times.
Yeah,
good times, good vibes, man.
Yeah.
I always find it so mad, like, especially drawing nowadays, it's like, there's so many people that you see that, like, you never actually make a plan to see them, but you just see them, like, all the time. Them,
your Joel buddies.
Yeah, Joel crew.
Acquaintances.
It's all one big fucking like school quad. Every time I liken it to like, it's just break time.
Bad
like,
memories. Oh.
Fucked up, man.
Damn. I think from a young age, you know, okay, like grade 6, I got my first phone, bro. Blackberry ting. So I finally had access to like download music.
Yeah.
You had BIS on lockdown. 60 rand free airtime. I'm free, unlimited data.
That's all. Sorry, you got there eventually.
Jeez, like, I was lost.
Yeah. So back in the day, you know, I was big into like, just like Linkin Park, Eminem, even like old Skrillex.
Yeah.
Just like the most random playlist you've ever heard.
Yeah.
From like a 12-year-old. And it's like, Linkin Park always drew me in because there was just this thing that I discovered through their music. It was like raw melodic power.
Just
like, how can I, a 12-year-old, be moved so much by just an electric guitar like that?
Yeah.
It like blew my mind. I didn't understand it. And that's carried through all the way throughout my career. It's just like trying to make other people feel that.
Yeah, how to invoke an emotion, basically. Yeah.
It's just like, for me, it's in the bass lines and like the chords. Like, I don't think I'll ever make a tune where there's no progression. Or like just one single static note.
Nah.
That's just not me.
Yeah.
That's not me.
I was raised by the park.
I was raised by a bass guitar. Yeah, so that's... like... that's why the melodic side of music, electronic music, will always, like, be special to me.
Yeah, 100%.
It's been such a wild, like, thing to be in, like, grade 6, and then I'm so moved, and it's like, I need this to be somehow change everything when I start mixing.
Bro, and it's mad because, like, even nowadays, like, I'll just be bumping music in the car, and, like, a tune with, like, this, like, this beautiful female vocal will come on, and I know the tune, and I've never sung along with this song before, like, so I'll just like start, dude, and all of a sudden I'm like on the brink of euphoric tears, bro.
In the bucket, even.
It's overwhelming, dude. It's like, how, like, Dove Cameron, for example.
Oh yeah,
crazy ass voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like tearjerker, bro. And it's not even like a sad song.
You just love the fucking notes.
I just love that voice. It's so good. Like, how can something so beautiful just come out of you like that? It's like mind-boggling, dude.
Yeah, 100%.
That's with me recently. It's nowhere near as intense as that, but it's George Michael and Careless Whisper. I've been belting that tune. I don't know why, but that last chorus.
Yeah,
there's something. There's something, and he felt so guilty. And he needed to get it off his chest.
He felt all the emotion in the world, goddamn.
That's the thing. And it's like, I could feel that.
Do you feel like you get out of, do you feel like electronic music is a genre where you could get emotion out? Like,
definitely.
Is it?
That's Bodzin, bro.
And
Ben Boma, actually. But Bodzin, dude. Like, during my last set of exams, I was just, like, so stumped. Brain fog. Let me throw on Bodzin's first album, or not his first, but Powers of 10. And I just went through the whole thing, bro. And then the last tune came on. It was a 10-minute tune.
That always says.
Bro, it's got a kick. It's got some hi-hats. It's got a bass line, a pad, and one, and like a melody. The five things. Bro, I was... The chokehold that song had on me for the next month. I was replaying it. Fucked. Fucked. I was like... those three note changes, bro. It's like tears in my eyes. I don't know. I don't know how it happened. Frequency. Yeah. It's the most fascinating thing.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like the way that you speak about music, bro, is fucking cool. Because it's like, you make it as well.
Yeah.
So it's literally like, you know what's going on. But even you're like, fuck, this is so
overwhelmingly good.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that with one of your own tracks?
Yeah. That's a different one, bro.
It's like watching your child grow up.
No, dude, it's so good. It's like drugs, but not. Shit.
Yeah. Fuck.
And like that one will never, the God complex will never disappear, bro.
Yeah, like that's for you. It's like, you don't take a picture of that one. That one's purely for you. Facts. When you get that feeling.
Which
one?
There's one, it's a... secret vocalist. I posted the process on my story like a couple months back. Like, I took a wine glass sample being I tuned it and I made an idea, and there was just that bass line in that tune. I was like, what the fuck? how did I write that? I like it blew my mind. Like, I don't even remember writing it. It's just like replaying it over and over and over. And like, the thing of emotion in tunes comes heavily as well with like the arrangement and stuff. Separating the elements, letting some elements breathe. Like, and in that tune specifically, everything disappears and then it's just bass line and vocals.
Ooh.
And it's just goosebumps. Yeah. Goosebumps on your goosebumps, bro. Oh,
fuck's sake, leak it. Leak it now. God damn.
Yo, I'll do that. Yeah. I'll plug you, bro. I'll plug you. Yo, nah, it's a different feeling. It's mad.
That's beautiful, man.
It's so beautiful. Did you have any, like, I can't believe you haven't fucking asked us. Did you have any previous, like, music teaching? Did you play piano? No. Did you play fuck all?
Not at all.
No, that's massive.
I just loved music so much.
Mm.
But now that I'm so far into the game, my music theory is good enough.
Mm. Mm, yeah.
And it's helped with my DJing as well. Because mixing in keys, as a producer, I know how important keys are. So if I make a mix that's not in key, then I'm like, better do it really well then. Otherwise,
brave move, God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so crazy, man. I've never fucking thought about like the frequency or the key that something is at.
Those house
would ruin my jaw. It's like, I can't play this song now because it's not in key with the rest of the mix. It's like, no, I fucking bang it anyway. Oh, God.
That's the beauty of being in the crowd and not knowing what the fuck's going on. You don't know what the fuck's going on.
I'm very happy being like
oblivious.
Yeah, fully. Like, I would hate to know exactly what's happening at every jaw.
You check your DJ mates eyeing you and you make a trash transition, bro. And like... We see you, bro. No
literally
one else
the whole
saw you,
time.
But we heard
they're
it.
Just there like, shut up, guys. Shut up.
100%.
Fucking, I did that at Wandering Tribe, bro. I was like, shit. Listen, didn't hear that. All right, shut up.
So your mates are your biggest critics, but they're not because they want you to win.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fucked up. No, that's beautiful, man. Fuck.
Yeah, bro.
I was just thinking now when you were saying mates are your most supportive in that thing that... Brandon at that set, and he's like, that was the worst set I ever played. And this one is like, no man, the worst set was your first set you ever played.
He's like, oh damn, thanks man, you're right. So, oh, this is a beautiful tear jerking moment, lads. God damn. Oh god.
Yeah, man,
that's so beautiful. In terms of like DJing, in terms of producing, is like, what's your main goal with everything? Is it be the biggest artist in the world? Is it just evoke emotion? Is it...
I would like... I would like to inspire people with my work.
Hmm.
Just like, you know, all of my inspirations help me.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I know that I love them. I love them.
Yeah.
I always will. Like, yeah. I want people to feel that way about my shit.
Hmm.
You know, like, I want it... I'll feel happy knowing that it helped people... start their journey.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. But I feel like you already do that, though. Like, to some extent. I feel like you do inspire. I've seen, like, so many people that, like, listen to your music. Like, even my brother and his whole crew as well, the ones who put me onto you in the first place.
Oh,
like,
shit.
They were literally like, nah, this guy is fire, man. You need to listen to Kansas. And then, like, rinsing your tunes on their stories. And then even, like, Tennyson as well. Like,
yeah. It's nice to hear that because, you know, I don't know the extent.
Yeah. Mm. Like, you see the few stories and everything, but you don't know behind closed doors
exactly.
Kind of thing.
I can't read people's minds.
Yeah, to be fair.
So, if I've inspired you, let me know.
Don't be shy, man.
It'll make me happy.
Yeah. Oh, fucked up. Yeah, I feel like producers, I don't know, deserve to know, man. I feel like your guys' music and, like, even your tunes as well, they're so fucking... You spend so much time and you put so much of yourself into what you do. And it's like, we, as like we said, are just ignorant, enjoying the vibes. But like at the same time, it still invokes an emotion in all of us.
Facts,
as
man.
Well, that we never would have had. So like, shout out to you. Shout out to the creatives of the world.
Shout out to the listeners and the consumers.
Yeah,
for you, man.
As an artist, your work is an embodiment of you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I've made, you know, it's... I made it somewhere down the line. It's a part of my story.
Little piece of Kansas.
Yeah.
Little piece of Kansas. Why does that sound so sus?
It does. It's a, it is going to sound a bit sus. You're gone.
Maybe he wants a little piece, bro.
He wants a little piece of KS. She won my KS. But Cassius, bro, thank you so much for pulling through, boss.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, man. I had a good time.
Yeah, man. Fucking beautiful chat. It's always so beautiful to hear people like who are passionate about what they do. And like you can literally just hear by the way that you speak about this shit. Fuck's sakes, you love it.
Fuck's sakes.
Oh, God. Maybe.
This episode should be out this week. So tell people where you're going to be this weekend. Just so they can come support you. Come have fun.
Friday, we're at Summit and Madison Avenue.
Woohoo.
Sunday, Park Acoustics.
Big Joel, turn up.
Vibes.
Pull up, man.
Go to him while he's playing his set and tell him how much you appreciate him as well.
Or like before. Or after.
Come to Park Acoustics in your fishing hat, bro.
Oh, you have to. So you in the fishing hat as well as Slushy?
Yeah. I met the bras.
Fucked up.
Yeah, that was a whole nother...
That was a whole Joel fire.
That was a tough time for me.
That was actually such a fucking joke, bro. Like, meeting you was like, I was like, because I always heard your name, and then when you introduced yourself, I think you said Dylan. And then I was
probably.
Like, oh, okay, yeah. I was like, okay, oh, wait. And then it's like, oh, where you go? He's like, no, I'm just going to go play now. I'm like, wait, what? And then we were all in the crowd looking at the set. I was like, what the fuck is this? No, he fucking guesses. I heard you say, hey,
release the vocals. Release the vocals.
Yo, that's late. That's so sick.
Oh. Yeah, no, bro. It was a fucking vibe, man.
Fuck yeah.
That was a beautiful time.
Stories like that make my life, bro.
Hey, that's beautiful, man. Fuck's sakes. Oh, but thank you so much once again for pulling through.
Of course.
Guys, tell people where they can find you, first off.
Yo. Insta, @ Uncle Cassius. That's about it, bro.
I don't have Facebook. I'm not old. Like all you fucking.
Facebook's personal. My mom to send me memes.
Isn't it always? Fuck's sake. Oh, God. Yeah, for Vibes Podcast, I've been Captain Le Brazil. To my right,
it's Davey Boy.
Yes, boy. And signing off for Dylan, DJ D. Dooley. We've been Vibes Podcast telling you guys to always
keep vibing.
Woo!
Woo, woo.
Yeah, boy.